Amen, amen, amen. How many of y'all feel the presence of God in this place this morning? Amen. I am so excited to be here this morning. Well, I say this every time. I'm always here. I'm just in a different capacity. Bring you greetings today. I am the young adult pastor here of Gap 412 Ministries, if you don't know me. Any Gap 412 people in the place this morning? We're passionate. We're excited. I'm so blessed to be able to lead this ministry with my beautiful wife. It is an awesome thing. Our pastors right now, they are actually out on vacation. Everybody say vacation. They soaking up some sun. No, they're relaxing. They're getting ready for Easter service. How many of y'all ready for Easter? I'm telling you, it is going to be awesome. You do not want to miss it. So get those invites. As Pastor Justin said earlier, take them, go put them in people's mailboxes. If you have to, slip them in their car, put them in a pocket real quick. Like they walk and you just drop it in there real quick. And like, ooh, you're coming to Destiny Church. Do all those things. Make certain that we get the people in this place. I'm going to give a disclaimer today before I get started, because I have been literally in the presence of God all week long. And so normally I am more like, I try to be more reserved in Sunday morning services because I don't want y'all to see my craziness. I'm not pulling any punches today. I feel like preaching in this place. Is it all right if I preach to y'all in this morning? So I'm going to jump right into it because I am just really excited and so thankful for this opportunity to bring you the word this morning. So we're going to continue our series, Multiply. Everybody say multiply. Pastor Gene has done such an amazing job giving us the keys to multiplication, whether it be watching what we're planting as a seed and changing our patterns and changing our habits. He's giving us many, many keys to multiplication. I believe last week's message was my favorite out of the whole sermon series so far. He talked about the topic, first things first. Everybody say first things first. Pastor Tom alluded to this earlier today. He said that Pastor Gene talked about how we are all called to be fishers of men. Every single one of us, not just the pastors, not just the Destiny Church staff, but everybody that's sitting in this place is called to be a fisher of men. Amen. We are all called, and everybody does it in different ways. Maybe I get to jump up here, scream around, sweat, and try to bring people to Christ that way. Maybe you just give them a breath mint, and that brings them to Christ. You know, different ways. But we are all called to be fishers of men. And he gave us these steps. I want to go over these real quick because I want to make certain it really registered in my heart. So I want to make certain that you get it in your heart today as well. He gave us the steps to be a fisher of men. Number one is to take initiative. Take initiative. Let's stop waiting around or stop waiting for the right moment or stop being afraid of hurting someone's feelings or anything like that. We just got to take initiative and bring people to the body of Christ. Number two, demonstrate God's love. I loved how he said, you know, we just got to do practical things to show people God's love. You know, our pastoral care team does a great job here that when someone is giving birth or someone is sick or someone is just struggling, we make certain that we get something together to help each other out to show people the love of God. Amen. We are to call to do those different things. So just practical ways. Make certain if someone, you know, is sick personally, maybe it's not here in the church, you know, maybe you can say, hey, let me take the kids for a little while just so you can rest, or let me take the kids so y'all can have a date night so you can work on your marriage. Do practical things to show God's love. And number three, this is probably my favorite. Don't just live it, but tell it. I think this is a thing that as believers, we fall into the trap of, oh, you know, if I live right, if I do things morally correct and stuff like that, people are just going to see, you know, that I'm a believer and I'm a Christian and they're just going to follow me. And that can be a trap because we've got, and don't get me wrong, like Pastor Gene said last week, that is a good thing. We have to have people in schools or in business places or anywhere around the world that are holding up high moral standards and showing them who they are in Christ. But we also got to have those people that will step out there and say, look, let me tell you about the love of Jesus Christ. I don't just want to show you, but I want to tell you verbally out of my own mouth what God has done for me. So take initiative, demonstrate God's love, And don't just live it, but tell it. So some of that may sound intimidating. You're like, oh, well, that's not my personality. That's not who I am. I'm not crazy. I'm not funny. I'm not anything like that. I don't do that. I don't talk to people very well. I'm not even nice. So how am I going to be nice to somebody? I had to make y'all smile because y'all looking at me mean right now. Y'all like, it's okay to smile. But so some of that may seem intimidating, but I want to talk to you about a topic today that can help you get over that and accomplish that. I want to talk to you about the thought today, fill me up. Fill me up. Everybody say, fill me up. Come on, one more time. Say, fill me up. What is filled up? The definition, y'all know me, I love my definitions. The act of being filled completely, almost to the point of overflowing. The act of being filled completely, almost to the point of overflowing. So I got to thinking about this topic, fill me up. I was like, so God, what do we fill up on? We want you to fill us up, but what do we fill up on? And so I'm just going to go over a short list here. You know, we fill up our cars. Maybe we travel a lot, or we go from here to there quite a bit, or we're running the kids around town, or a lot of different things. And once that meter gets close to that E, we make certain that we've got to go get filled up again. Or I'm going to tell on myself here a little bit. We fill up our closets. Somebody say, Pray for Pastor TJ. Hey, y'all, I got a problem. I love clothing. Like, if y'all notice, I probably never wear the same thing twice on a Sunday morning. And I try to do that on purpose. I really have a problem with it. My wife and I, we have, three closets at the house. And I have 2 1/4. I'm full with my clothes. What? I gave her a little room. I could have took all the closets. Made her just throw her stuff on the floor. But I'm saying all that to say that, you know, when we want things, we go get them. We make certain that we have clothes on our back. We make certain. Here's one that almost a revival almost broke out in first service. How many of y'all like coffee in here? Hey, look. I don't even know why I'm shouting because I don't like coffee. But do y'all? I know some of y'all know somebody like this. It might even be you, possibly, that has said this. Ooh, girl, if I don't have my coffee on Monday morning, it's going to ruin my whole week. It's going to ruin my whole week. And I'm like, really? You're going to let one cup of coffee ruin your whole week? And so I'm here to say that I'm going to introduce you to Aaron Garcia and his addiction ministry so that can be broken off your life. I'm kidding a little bit. But I say all that to say that's one thing that we make certain is filled up, right? We fill up on food. Lord have mercy. Johnny almost just got a shouting right there. And I'm not just talking about Thanksgiving. I'm not just talking about just Christmas. I'm not talking about the Super Bowl. I'm talking about Sunday through Sunday. We make certain that we're good right here. We fill up on things. Sometimes we overfill on that. I'm not going to even tell y'all what different countries and stuff think of us. Y'all know, y'all can just Google it and y'all gonna be like, oh my gosh. Or here's my favorite. We fill up on our social media fix. We make certain that we know what's going on with everybody else, don't we? We are scrolling on Facebook. I asked this in the first service and I've asked Gap this before. I want y'all to be totally honest. How many of y'all have ever gotten out your phone or tablet or computer, whatever it is, and you've gotten on social media and then 10 minutes goes by and 20 minutes and 30 and 40 and 45 minutes? How many of y'all has that ever happened to y'all? Come on, be honest. Come on. Yeah, there we go. I see the hands. But we do that because we want to make certain we know what's going on with everybody. Or maybe you might not be that person. Maybe you're like, social media, I don't do that. I'm way more mature than that. I don't do it during the day. But when 10 o'clock at night happens, right before you go to bed, what do? Pull out that phone, scroll, makes, ooh, I didn't know that girl was doing that. Ooh. But we make certain that we fill up on these things. We do everything. Listen to what I'm saying here. I know I made a funny about all of them, but we do everything in our power to fill up on those things almost daily. But the one thing, and this is my topic today, that we don't ask for daily and we should is the filling of the Holy Spirit. Every single day we should be asking, God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Now, I know some of y'all may hear that and be like, oh man, so that means I have to like speak in tongues all day, every day. Like, oh, I'm driving my car. He should have bought a Honda and Chattamaka Moscow. Oh, I should have bought a Kia, all this crazy stuff. No, I want to tell you today that the Holy Spirit is so much bigger than just speaking in tongues. The Holy Spirit allows you to be a better husband. The Holy Spirit allows you to be a better father, a better mother, a better friend. The Holy Spirit allows you to make good decisions on your job, in your businesses. The Holy Spirit allows you to do all these things. He's so much greater than just speaking in tongues. And I said this in the first service, and I know I got some laser darts, so I know I'm probably about to get it again this service. But just because you speak in tongues doesn't mean that you have the Holy Spirit. We're going to keep moving. I'll tell myself, y'all know I'm transparent. I'll be honest. When I was growing up in church and stuff like that, that's what I thought the Holy Spirit was just once you finally begin to learn how to speak in tongues. Oh, you got the Holy Spirit. That's so wrong, y'all. That's so wrong. You have the Holy Spirit. When you know you're about to make a wrong decision, the Holy Spirit nudges you, says, nope, you probably shouldn't do that. So we should be asking daily. Everybody say daily. Daily for the filling of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8, 5 through 6 says it like this. Says, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. Or other words, those who are dominated by your flesh and what you want and how you want your life to work think about sinful things. But those who are what? Controlled by the Spirit. Come on, everybody say that with me. Controlled by the Spirit. Those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. That's become one of my favorite scriptures because, you know, what is the opposite of death is life. But what I love about when you're filled with the Holy Spirit or you're allowing your life to be controlled by the Holy Spirit, you don't just get one thing. You get two. You get life and peace. How many of y'all need peace in a situation in your life at all? Like right now, you need peace. Yeah. And how do we do that? By the filling of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 says it like this. It says, don't be drunk with wine because that will ruin your life. I love how sometimes the Bible is just so clear. Like sometimes it's hard. It's like, Paul, brother, you're going to have to rewrite that because I don't know what you were saying right there. I tried. I read it like 8 times. I still don't get it. But sometimes he comes out, he's just clear. Don't be drunk with wine because that will ruin your life. And he's also clear about this. He says, instead, be what? Come on, one more time. Be what? Filled with the Holy Spirit. So why is being filled with the Holy Spirit so important? Why is this such an important topic, Pastor TJ, that you're talking about today? I've got one answer for you. Because you cannot accomplish the works of God without him. Impossible. We see that even with Jesus himself. He didn't go certain places. He didn't do certain things. He did not say anything if the Holy Spirit did not allow him to. It is that important because we have to have him. Now, I said this in the first service too. I think another thing in the body of Christ as believers that we get caught behind is we think that the Holy Spirit is an it or a thing or something mysterious or some type of cloud of smoke that is just not real at all. But I'm here to tell you today that the Holy Spirit is real and he is a being. He is a him. It's like if you can imagine him standing right here in front of me because he's not behind me. He's in front of me because I'm following him today and he's using me as his vessel. Imagine a being standing right in front of me right now, speaking to you through me. Now, some of y'all may be like, well, that's kind of hard to imagine. It's kind of hard to get. Well, you go to all these different movies and you believe in everything they show you. there, but I'm here to tell you that the Holy Spirit is more real than any movie, any TV show, any TV series that we can watch, because he is real. He has emotions. Did y'all know that? The Holy Spirit has emotions. Everything that you feel, he feels. And he feels it 10 times stronger than the way that we feel it. So we must have the Holy Spirit, because we cannot accomplish the works without him. Pastor Gene told us last week, we've got to be fishers of men. The only way we can do that is by following the leading of the Holy Spirit. Now listen to this statement here. We are all promised and given the Holy Spirit. We're all given that. Jesus makes that very clear in John, that he will send the Comforter to us. But watch this. But the Holy Spirit is the one who gets to decide if he dwells inside of us. Let me explain it. Pastor Gene, just a couple months ago, spoke a message that said God doesn't live in a what? In a dirty house. God doesn't live in a dirty house. So if your situation is not in order, and if your life is out of whack, and you're just following what you want to do and not even following the leading of the Holy Spirit, I dare say, I don't know if the Spirit is dwelling in you. He's with you, because watch this. The Holy Spirit, God will never, ever, ever, ever leave you nor forsake you, okay? Get that clear real quick. I'm not telling you that God will just leave you, because he will not. The Bible clearly says that. But what the Holy Spirit can do is he can withdraw. He can sit back. He can say, okay, I'm going to let you trip and fall because you're not listening to me. And so I want to show you this. You know, my fear for us as believers and Christians is that some of us don't even know that the Spirit is not even dwelling with us. And that's a scary place to be. I'm going to prove it to you in this story. Y'all know the story of Samson in the Bible. He was the strongest man to walk this earth, killed thousands. Killed lions, tigers, bears. Oh my, hey, lions. Okay, I'm sorry. He did kill lions and kill things. He was just so strong and so powerful because God gave him the promise that he would. And he told him, the key is, don't ever cut your hair, because that is my sign to the people that I am with you. And so what happens? Samson got messed up. He got all womanizer. He started feeling himself a little bit, started beating his chest. I was like, yeah, I'm Samson. So, you know, this girl right here, I know I ain't supposed to have her, but I'm gonna get her. And so he got her. And what happened? He told her the secret, which is what God told him specifically, don't do. Told her the secret. And what happened? As he was sleeping one night, she cut his hair off, cut it completely off. And let's pick it up and see what happened here. Then she cried out, Samson, the Philistines have come to capture you. Now, let me pause there for a minute. This ain't got nothing to do with the message, but y'all ever read any stories in the Bible that just make you mad? I read this and I was like, look, because I can imagine this girl. She's like snipping. She's cutting the last braid and she's like, clip. And she's, okay. And she lays down and goes to sleep, and then they kick in the door, boom! And she's like, oh, Samson, I didn't even know they were coming. Girl, please. You knew they was coming. Everybody say, bye, Felicia. Bye, man, get out of here, girl. Y'all know I'm crazy. So then she cried out, Samson, the Philistines have come to capture you. When he woke up, he thought, I will do as before and shake myself free. Watch this. This is so important. But he didn't realize that the Lord had even left him. Y'all, that's a scary place to be. I said this in the first service. Y'all know I'm transparent. I sang with a national recording artist group in Tulsa, and we traveled all over the country. And I know that there were many a times that I got up, that we got up to sing and lead people into worship. And I knew for a fact that the Spirit wasn't with us. Why do I knew that? Is because we were all about the lights. We were about the smoke. We were about a nice rhythm, a nice beat, trying to show everybody, yeah, 1GOP, we nice. And the Holy Spirit was like, you nice by yourself. He was with us, but he withdrew because it was about us. And so I say that to say what made me different between me and Samson is that at least I knew that he wasn't there. The scary part for Samson is he had no clue that the Spirit wasn't with him. Some of us are wondering why certain situations aren't happening, why certain business propositions aren't going through, why certain things aren't taken off the way, why your heart hasn't been healed or mended by certain things. I dare say because maybe the Spirit is not dwelling with you. Just something to think about. Something to think about. So why would the Spirit withdraw? Why would he do that? You know, he say you never leave and nor forsake you, and he won't. But he would withdraw because we don't listen to him. And I said this in the first service, you know, it is so hard when you're talking and nobody's listening. Have y'all ever had like conversations with that? You talking and they're like, like paying no attention. And that's what we're doing with the Holy Spirit. And I know I've had several people over the last year come to me and say that, and I'm not making fun of you, it's you, so hear my heart. But I've heard several people say, well, I just don't hear God. God doesn't talk to me. God doesn't do this. God doesn't say that. Let me tell you, God is always talking. He's always talking. He may talk to you, though, in a different way than he talks to me. You know, I, a lot of times, hear an audible voice. My wife, she's going to be so mad that I'm telling. I love you, babe. But the Spirit's telling me to say it. The way that she feels the Holy Spirit is that her stomach gets upset, gets all in knots, and then a what, like upset, if y'all know what I'm talking about. But that's how he deals with her. With you, you may feel like a warmth sensation. With you, you may get goosebumps. With you, maybe you just think that you thought it up, but it was really the Holy Spirit. So he's always talking to you, but are you listening? He will withdraw because no time was made for him. We don't pray. We don't spend any time in the Word. Don't turn on worship and just sit there and just worship with him. And so all in all, after he sees all that, he sees that there was no room in your life for him. So he has to stand back in the corner. He's like, man, I could have helped her. I could have made her miss that. I could have helped her turn left instead of turning right, but there was no room in my life. Same thing with us. Now, put yourself in the Holy Spirit's shoes. Remember, I said that the Holy Spirit has emotions and things like that. So let us flip the roles for a minute. You trying to get a new friend, trying to get somebody to just be friend, and you, when you talk to them, they don't listen to you. Or you say, oh, well, okay, I want to make this good friendship and I want to go hang out and stuff like that. And they never make any plans with you. Don't make any time to just sit down and get to know you. And so finally you realize there's no room in their life for me. So what do? You withdraw. You leave. Same thing with the Holy Spirit. Now I know that's all dreary and sad because some of y'all are like, oh man, maybe that's me. Maybe that's why I'm struggling with certain things. That's where, man, I can't push through and get to the edge. But here's the good news that I want to share with you today. Our God gives us so much grace and he loves us so much that he will return his Spirit to us. As fast as he withdrew is as fast as he will give it right back to you. Let me prove it in the story of Samson. Remember, they came in, they captured him. And so now they've got him in the temple and they gouged his eyes out and they're making him feel just horrible, making a mockery out of him. So let's pick up the story again and see what it says. It says, now the temple was completely filled with people. All the Philistine rulers were there and there were about 3,000 men and women on the roof who were watching as Samson amused them. Then Samson prayed to the Lord, Sovereign Lord, remember me again. Oh God, please strengthen me. Everybody say, strengthen me. Please strengthen me just one more time. With one blow, let me pay back the Philistines for the loss of my two eyes. Then Samson put his hands on the two center pillars that held up the temple and pushed. And the temple crashed down on the Philistine rulers and all of the people. So what happened there? The Spirit came right back to him. He came with the heart of repentance, saying, God, you know, I'm so sorry. I put myself first. I didn't make any time for you in my life. And I apologize, God, and I'm so sorry. But God, please give me strength one more time. And what did God do? He gave him strength. The Bible says he took out more people than he had in his entire life in that one situation. So God will return his Spirit to us. So I'm going to close with these three things here. Three things that the Holy Spirit will multiply in you. Three things that the Holy Spirit will multiply in you. Number one, your strength. We just talked about it with Samson. Samson easily could have, y'all, just given up. He could have just said, you know what, this situation is too rough. I don't have any eyes. You know, my hair's gone, so I don't have any strength. And there's no way I'm going to get out of this. He could have easily said that, but what did Samson do? I love what Samson did. Instead, he prayed, oh God, strengthen me. Instead of crying and complaining and whining and doing, oh, woe is me. Oh, my life is hard. Oh, things are going wrong and sad for me and bad for me. He didn't do that. What did he do? He ran to God and he prayed in his time of distress and said, oh God, strengthen me. Just one more time. I'm here to tell you today that some of us are going through big situations, struggling situations, things that feel hard, things that may have kept you from almost even coming here today. You're like, man, this is just so hard. But I encourage you that if you don't just fall out and don't just feel weak, don't give in, don't throw in the towel. I promise you, if you don't give up, God will return his strength to you. Look at your neighbor and say, don't give up. Come on, tell them like you mean. Say, don't give up. Don't give up, girl. Don't give up, boy. We're not giving up. We're strong. We're fighters. We're courageous. And we need him to fill us with his strength. Everybody say, God, fill me with your strength. Fill us with your strength, God. Number two, he'll multiply your boldness. He'll multiply your boldness. One of the greatest stories of boldness ever told in the Bible, besides the story of Jesus, I feel, is the story of Stephen. And if you've never read it, go back to Acts and read it. It's an amazing story. This young man was amazing. He was a deacon who operated in such authority and boldness. Everything he said just cut right to the heart. He didn't mess around with it. Why? Because he operated in the spirit of boldness. He was so bold that he was one of the first to address the council of the high priest. And you would think that since he had the Holy Spirit filled in him and that he was so bold that everybody would have just came running to Christ right then. But that didn't happen at all. Let me show you what happened. Acts chapter 7 says it like this. The Jewish leaders were infuriated by Stephen's accusations. They shook their fist at him in rage. But Stephen, what? Full of the Holy Spirit. Come on, say that with me. Full of the Holy Spirit. Gazed steadily into heaven and saw the glory of God, and he saw Jesus standing in the place of honor at God's right hand, and he told them, look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing in the place of honor at God's right hand. That made them even more mad. They put their hands over their ears and began shouting. They rushed at him and dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. His accusers took off their coats and laid them at the feet of a young man named Saul. As they stoned him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Do y'all see the similarities between this story and Samson? They were both till the point of death. Some of us have felt that way. Some of us, you maybe feel like you're right there right now. But what did they do? They both prayed. They ran after God and said, God, I need you in this moment in time. And so I'm here to tell you, you know, Pastor Gene, he said this last week. He said, we're all called to be fishers of men, and we're all called to tell of the goodness everywhere that we go. But I'm here to give you a disclaimer today. Just because you do that doesn't mean that everybody's going to like it. Same thing happened with Stephen. Just because you do it doesn't mean that everybody's going to jump on board and run right around with you. Let me tell you something else. You might lose friends over this. You might lose your job. You might lose family members. You might lose things that are very, very close and important with you. But if you're walking in a spirit of boldness, it won't even faze you. That's what, that was the cool thing that happened with Stephen. He was walking in such boldness, it didn't even faze him. They're literally throwing stones at him. And he's like, that's cool. Y'all just getting me to meet Jesus earlier. And I say that because, you know, I'm young. I'm only 26 years old. And I do not at all sit here and tell you that I know the Bible backwards and forwards. I will not. I will not get in a Bible war with any of y'all because more than likely I'm probably going to lose. Chuck, I know I'm going to lose to you. But I say all that to say that the reason that why I can stand here is not because of my knowledge, not because of what I know about the Bible, not because of what I can do, but it's because I'm operating in the spirit of boldness to proclaim the word of Jesus Christ to you. I could easily get up here and be like, man, everybody is they're older than me. They're much wiser. They're looking at me like I'm crazy. Ain't no way I should be up here. But I don't. I say, God, give me your boldness. Give me your word in my mouth to give to your people. Somebody say, fill me up, God. Last week, Pastor Gene talked about how we need to take initiative. But the only way that we're going to be able to take initiative and fish is to be bold. We've got to be bold. And the last thing, number three, the Holy Spirit will multiply your power. Holy Spirit will multiply your power. Acts 1:8 says it like this. But you will receive what? Power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, or you will be my fishermen, telling people about me everywhere. You know, the reason why he told him that, this, I'm trying to show you how important of being led by the Holy Spirit is. Can't you just imagine? Jesus walked with these guys for years. And he told them, you know, everything that he was going to do. And then he actually did it. He came back. And can you imagine how they felt? I can just see Peter now. Ooh, yeah, that's my boy. Jesus, he came back. I told you. I'm ready to go tell the world. Here we go. And Jesus is like, hold it. Wait a minute. He said, you can't go because you don't have any power. You can't go because you don't have that Holy Spirit of flowing in that power. So he said, but you will receive it when you allow that Holy Spirit to come upon you. Now I want to tell y'all, this word of power is just as much for me as it is for you. Just because I'm up here doesn't mean that I'm spot on it. Because I will tell you this, I haven't gone to a hospital yet and told somebody with stage 3 cancer to get up, you're healed. But that's the type of power that we can operate in when we follow in the filling of the Holy Spirit. But the key is we got to believe. And the Holy Spirit alone is what allows us to flow in this power. Not our knowledge. I don't care how much Bible verse you got in you. That won't allow someone to be healed. You must have the Holy Spirit. The musicians can come. I'm closing. So the Holy Spirit will multiply your strength, your boldness, and your power. And I want to close with this thought today, found in Acts chapter 2, verse 17. It says, in the last days, says God, I will pour out my spirit among all people. In the last days. I know we hear that. We get scared. We get fearful. I know I do. I'm just going to be honest with y'all because I don't know what that's going to look like. We get worried about different things that are going to happen in the last days. And so we read this scripture. We say in the last days. Oh, no, skip. Let me go back to Psalms or something. I don't want to read that. But I'm here to tell you something today, not to make you scared or fearful or anything like that. But we are living in the last days, y'all. And I'm not saying it's going to be 2 days from now, 2 years from now, 5 years, 50 years. I have no idea. No man or woman knows the day or the hour that the Savior is coming. But I am here to tell you that reading the word and seeing the different things that are going on in the world, I can attest to you today that we are in the last days. But I want you to change your perspective of how you see this scripture. When God, he dropped this on me last week, and I was like, man, I've been reading the scripture wrong the whole time. God says, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit among everybody. And I was like, man, can you imagine that, y'all? Can you imagine when people are walking around full of the Holy Spirit, when God just begins to just continue to pour it on you and pour it on you and everyone that's around? Can you imagine how great of a day that's going to be? But we look at it, so stop looking at the scriptures like, oh, in the last days. No, look at it as in the last days, God is going to start doing more miracles. He's going to start doing more healings. He's going to set people free because he's going to pour it out his spirit. I'm done, but I want to show you an illustration here. Big Mike, come here for a second. So Big Mike is going to represent us. The cup is going to represent his spirit. And we come to church sometimes empty, dry as a bone. We just dry. And we come in and Pastor Gene gives us a message on multiply, and the worship is amazing and everything is great. And it finally clicks with Mike at that time. And he says, yeah, God, I want more of that. I gotta have more of that in my life. So, Lord, I want you to fill me up with everything that we've said and done. God, I want it. And so what does God do? He pours it out in your spirit. Now, that's not it. Let me show you. Here's the thing that God dropped on me, though, is that some of us, we come in empty. And we take it and we're this close to the Holy Spirit, but we don't actually have it in us. We've got to have it in us and in our mind and in our very physical being. It's great to be close to it, but I don't know about y'all. I want the Spirit in me. Does anybody want the Spirit of God in you, in your life? And so once Mike begins to realize that, he's like, you know what? It's not good enough just to be close to it. It's not good enough just to come to church on Sunday mornings. It's not good enough just to do things because I want to. But God, I want more of you. So Mike begins to realize there's something I got to do to be filled on the inside. So he says, God, I want more of me. Get it in my life. And then he begins to take a drink and God pours out new creations. And then he takes another drink and God makes him a better husband. And then he takes another drink and God makes him a better father. And then he takes another drink and God brings him a better teacher, new creativities, new spoken word. And God begins to fill him up on the inside of him. Now watch this though. Yo, he's filled up for real. Listen, the one thing I want to show you, though, is God doesn't just stop there. He doesn't just fill you up on the inside. What did he say? He said, in the last days, if my people want it, I will pour out my spirit among all your people. And so God, so Mike says, God, fill me up. I want more of you. I want more of you. Make me a better husband. Make me a better husband. Make me a better teacher. Make me a better teacher. Make me a better father. Make me a better father. God, I need more of you in my life. God, I need more of you in my life. So pour out your spirit. So pour out your spirit. Pour out your spirit. Pour out your spirit. Fill me up, God. Fill me up. And then God begins to pour out his spirit among Big Mike, all over his flesh, and everywhere he goes. The spirit of God begins to permeate the place. People get healed, set free, and delivered. Come on, give God a shout of praise in this place. Come on, lift it up, Justin. Help me say, fill me up. Come on, say, fill me up. If you want to be filled up by the Holy Spirit, I want you to come down here to this altar real quick, because God is here to fill you. Come on, ask him for the filling of his presence. Come on, tell him, fill me. Fill me. Come on, lift it up in this place today. Father, we want to be filled by your strength, by your power. Come on, lift up your hands as you stand down here. Tell God to fill you up. Come on, lift it up.
Fill me up.
Come on, tell him. Come on, lift it up. Come on, church. Come on, tell him. Come on, fill me up.
Fill me up.
God, fill us with your presence. Fill us with more of you, Jesus. Fill us with more of you, God. Now everybody in this place, lift up your hands to the heavens. Father, we thank you so much for your presence that's in this place. God, we thank you for the filling of our spirits. And then God, you're not just going to stop there, but you're going to continue to pour it out on us. That way, God, that when we go to work, people will see something different. When we go to school, some people will see different things different, God. Lord, and I pray that we don't just stop here asking for the filling of your spirit, but we shall make this a conscious daily effort to fill us, God. Will that be to make us a better employee, a better boss, a better husband, a better wife, a better father, a better mother, God? We're going to ask for it daily, for you to control our lives, Jesus. And we thank you. We give you praise. We give you glory. And we give you honor in Jesus' name. Come on, if you receive the filling of the Holy Spirit, let's give God a shout of praise. Come on, lift it up. Let's give God a shout of praise in this place. Hallelujah. How many of y'all feel good about being in the presence of God this morning? Amen. Well, I pray that that word be permeated in your heart, that you can take it out throughout the rest of this work week. Now listen, ask for this daily. Don't wait till Sunday. Don't wait till Wednesday night. Ask God to fill you with his spirit each and every day. Give somebody a high five, a hug, and say, hey, it was so good worshiping with you. Gap 412, we'll be here tonight for Overflow. It's going to be awesome. Meet us here.